So to kind of start off our first public event, I'd like to introduce Bev Cummings. Bev Cummings has two books of poetry here. One produced a couple of years ago, and one fresh off the press. In fact, I took them right out of the original box and handed them to Bev tonight. Bev is a really evocative poet that I think you can really appreciate. If you want to feel or be able to envision things that are quite dark, but at the same time have passion and desire at the same time, then that's the kind of poetry you might get from Bev. Though I don't want to speak for her, she should speak for herself.
Yeah, I'm okay? Okay. The names of my two books, the first one's called A Good Death, and the second one's called Keep It Terse. These poems that I'm going to read are from the first book, from the section Fallen Womb, Womanist Writings, and the title of the segment is Body of the Text. It was also published in the Algonquin Roundtable Review a number of years back. It was a magazine out of Algonquin College that folded. Anyways, Body of the Text. In context, next we shall consider the consequences. Snowfall, then rain, and then spring. The body of the text, the body, fearful of old age and middle age, and afraid even in youth. Body in youth, in middle age, and perhaps even into old age. Yes, definitely on into old age. But continuums keep falling out of place. Perspicacity, an age of woman's wanderings on a page. Auteurs sounds old to me. And the winter sun replaced with a new moon, pulling tides into equilibrium. Equal shades of ink black, opaque white, green, time and time again, the fusion of green. Vision, but not yet, not until summer. And even then, the rude shades of burnt brown grass, for ecology has gone crazy. In the context of now, for time, mystery only stops with death, and then eternity, timelessness. Coming to terms with the mystery of eternity. Apparitions on the other side of the continuum. Just that, maybe stood echo in someone's mind. The body of the text deals with the sun and a new moon, and the descent into the caverns where time stops and disinherits. Time stops. Catch it in your hand like water. Oh, a spill. Wipe it up. A glass full of water spilling. Then the glass. Wipe it up with a rag. The water particles. The glass particles. The time particles. All gone. Only echoes in the mind. The body of the text deals with life and tradition. But women get lost in the cracks of tradition all the time, or all tradition has flaws and has to be rebuilt, which forms a new tradition with cracks in it. But what would it be like without plastering walls and sewing up old dolls and listening for baby rattles, bone rattles, death rattles? Thank you. The next poem was originally published in Open Minds Quarterly. It was also published in an anthology that they put out called In New Light. It's called Transformation. The cityscape is a murky chiaroscuro on this rainy December day, a good day to grieve. Acting normal is important. Fear stifled, I try not to summon up terror. But moments of lost awareness, penumbras of madness still darken my thoughts. Past and present run such different versions of the same reality. And I wonder if I can turn to poetry for transformation. So I read immensely, quietly, searching for myself, for a window on my world, examining poetic secrets and truths, insanity being the closest thing to death. But who am I to be exempt from suffering and death? A realization that brings closure, resolution for me. The next poem was published in the Algonquin Roundtable Review. and it's called Daffodils for Robert Mack. You who await the waning of the light, what hair you have left is gray. You pant for breath from the slightest movement, and sometimes become so dizzy you fall. You who await the waning of the light are carbuncular and spew your food. The flowers of your daffodils have all been cut off, and you will not see them next year when they bloom. May you who wait for the waning of the light know peace and your own mind. May this confusion leave you. Don't feel obligated to clap. This next one's called Pigeon. Pigeon, passing by a grocery store today in Chinatown, I saw a group of Oriental children at the store's upstairs window. A thick gray storm of fluttering pigeons had flocked to the ledge for food. The outer window was partially open. One fragile bird was caught between the two window panes, wings spread open in a movement so furious it appeared an illusion. It fanned the air frantically. Suddenly I wished I could show my own panic at being trapped like that bird had. The last poem's called Jazz and Death. There have been so many deaths recently that as another ambulance pulls up at the entrance to the apartment building, I wonder who is ill now. Listening to the jazz combo on the radio, music sometimes dissonant like anger, often sad like death. With so much happening that is incomprehensible, I try to lie back and let it slide over me. Things from the past are inspired by song, but sometimes these are things I would rather forget. I had a friend I lost contact with who was dying of cancer. Did she make a good death? So far, luck has been on my side, but when the time comes, will I be inspired enough to take the end with courage? For now, the beat goes on.
I'd like to thank Beverly for that, our first presentation in the Wind Art Collective. That's good. And you know, for that ability to bring such dark feelings but also wanting feelings together at the same time. So again, for Beth. I never feel obliged.
Hello. Okay. The first set of poems that I read were from the book. It's a compilation of chapbooks. It's called A Good Death. It's available for $10. I have copies of it. The second set of poems are from a new book called Keep It Terse that came into existence through the Artist in Residence program that Artswell and Salas and CMHJ sponsored. Anyways, the first one is the title poem from the book. It was originally published in an online magazine out of Chicago. It's called Keep It Terse. Walking becomes deeper with the daffodils, crocuses, tulips, and hyacinths. The magnolia tree in full blossom. A lost lover in front of the building. Realize it is an illusion. Waking up in intensive care, clinging to life, a suicide case. My mother says we almost lost her a few times. My once upon a time husband tells me when he visited in hospital I was totally insane. The doctor said I might never recover. He left in tears. Recognizing psychotic thoughts is more than a pastime. I have been ill for years at a time. It is by a miracle I am sane again. Flesh on the bone. It's growing old, the realization of how much time you waste and have wasted. The need for probity, yet wanting to atrophy. I am losing the generation that spawned me. Try for quiet, but the mind rumbles. Am I winning or losing this battle? Things have changed. I don't know where I'm going. Growth is like a tumor. This sweet deranged. the unexpected careening up, full of turmoil and disorder. I watch the evening news and my psyche calms, the planet so crazy. Even paper flowers wilt, the nacreous evening sky arcane, the downtown sirens, keep it terse. Like pointillism, the world is visible between the autumns. Swarms of red ants clot the sidewalk. Crazy touch, the way the moon moves in and out of your fingertips. This next poem is a fairly recent one. It's called Home in On. Walked this morning, saw a newly painted black bench and wilting lilies. You knock on your lover's door, harder and harder. She does not answer. Later, I see you handcuffed, blubbering, being escorted out of the building by three large policemen. She and I are no longer friends. She looks at me as if to scourge me. The Asian family brings their old mother home. They chatter and laugh. She weighs over 300 pounds. The mechanizations they use to get her inside the ambulance are truly inventive. With your blind son, you walk a bullish dog and smoke, neither of which you can afford. Kids skateboard in t-shirts and camouflage shorts, baseball caps and tattoos, confident and brazen. The delivery man, a cigarette hanging out of the side of his mouth, a dolly and Rubbermaid bins. Two old lovers I never see. Are they gone like the other two? This next poem wasn't published in Keep It Terse, but it had been accepted by a magazine called Transition. It's Canadian Mental Health Association, Saskatchewan Division magazine. It's called Valedictorian of the Asylum. A nightmare, hands grabbing at you. A mirror that is a portal. Tinsel town tombs. My doctor's time laughable. My brother-in-law wandering around without her. Never forget the possibility of vertigo. The great war wisher, self-taught, learn everything twice. Tuned into fear for the long haul, the heat has made me delirious. The foundation has curvatures of anxiety, lines folded in half. Is shame necessary part of growth? Say another rosary. Dreams of large tortoises laying eggs in the sand. Maple leaves sucking out the blood of the trees. The young man with Byzantine red hair, raisin-like face, freckles, copper tooling, one of those crafts learned in a hospital. My balance wavers, holes in the sky, rent by clouds. But for the future, which key, which door, which lock? And the last poem's called Frightened of the Holy. Frightened of the Holy, a medicinal sky. Peacock peonies, petals alive and accounted for. The bee entering the flower, trysting, fear discourages any lovemaking. Honey ruptured, the angle demented, served up unbalanced as bees become extinct by parasites and pesticides. 3 a.m., as if the world is not full of war. He was a shady little man. Use intelligence to fasten a honeycomb. Go naive as before. Hard thinking now intrudes on the dullness, the jumble riddles, the waggle dance of untwist victims, a pantomime to communicate the location of flowers, frightened of the holy, taste the last succulent royal jelly.
Okay, I want to thank Bev again for all her reading and writing.